Good morning, everybody. An extremely important chapter we're going to learn today. Most probably one of the most important chapters in Tanakh from a contemporary point of view. That's enough of an introduction. A great deal has to be said about this chapter. We're learning chapter 5. Chapter 5 in Shmuel Bet. Well, we get it away. Yeah. Vayavo kol shiftei Yisrael el David Chevrona. All of the tribes of Israel came to David in Chevron. Vayomru leimor, and they said, Hinenu atzmecho ubesorecho anachnu. We are you and your flesh. We're all one. Where do you have that term from? Where does that term come from? Very good. What does Adam say about Chava after Chava is created? Zot hapam, this time etzen me'atzamai u'bosor mi'besari. This time we're talking about somebody that is a bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Atzmecho u'besarcha therefore represents the closest that two people can be. So this is what Shiftei Yisrael, all of the tribes of Israel, say to David when they come to Hebron. We're going to get back to the pasuk. Extremely important words in the pasuk. Gamet mol gaum shilshom, yesterday and the day before. What they mean is, even in the past, you were in fact king over us. V'hiyot Shaul melech aleinu, when Shaul was king over us. Ata hayita hamotzi v'hamevi et Yisrael. Who was the leader? Who took us out to battle? Who brought us in? V'yomer Hashem lecha, and God had said to you through Shmuel, Ata tir'e et ami et Yisrael, you will be the shepherd for my people Israel. V'ata tihi el nagid al Yisrael, and you are going to be a prince over Israel. V'yavohu kol ziknei Yisrael el hamelech chevrona. It would seem that this is a second delegation that comes to him. The first delegation represents all of the tribes of Israel. The second represents Kol Zikne Yisrael, the elders of Yisrael. Not everybody learns that way. The Radak seems to say that Vayavo over here means the Zikne Yisrael had come. But I have a feeling that these are two separate delegations. There is a delegation of Shiftei Yisrael, the tribes of Israel. Now come the Zikne Yisrael. El HaMelech, to the king Chevrona. Vayichrot Lahem HaMelech David Brid B'Chevron Lefnei Hashem. And the King David, made with them a covenant in Hebron Lifnei Hashem, before God. We're going to have to see what that means. Why is Hebron called Lifnei Hashem, before God? Where is the Lifnei Hashem? In certain places, of course, all of Eretz Yisrael is called Lifnei Hashem. When Yonah flees Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayivrach Yonah, Yonah fled mi Lifnei Hashem, from before God. But here it seems to be there is something Lifnei Hashem in Hebron. The Radak says, wherever you have all of Israel or the majority of Jews, that's where the divine presence rests. And it seems that everybody had gathered, or the representatives of all of the people had gathered in Hebron, and therefore Hebron now becomes Lifnei Hashem, before God. Vayimshichu et David HaMelech al Yisrael, and David was anointed as a king over Israel. By the way, this is the third time that David is being anointed. The first time David is anointed was by Shmuel. The second time was in, if I'm not mistaken, it was in chapter 2. In chapter 2 it says that the people of Yehuda came and they anointed him as king. Yes. In chapter 2, pasuk 4, it says, "Vayavoh Anshe Yehuda, Vayim Shechu Shomet David LeMelech al Beit Yehuda." Anshe Yehuda came and they anointed David as a king over Beit Yehuda. That means he over Shevet Yehuda. Now he is being anointed as Melech al Yisrael, king over all of Israel. Ben Shloshim Shana David LeMelech. David was 30 years old when he ruled. Arbaim Shana Melech, and for 40 years he was king. The Hebron Malach Yehuda Sheva Shonim Vishisha Chodashim. In Hebron he ruled over Yehuda 7 years and 6 months. Ubi Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim Vishalosh Shana in Yerushalayim. He was king for 33 years. Akol Yisrael VeYehuda, on all of Israel and Yehuda, on all of you. That means Chevron, that's true. The Anshei Yehuda, the people of Yehuda, had anointed him, but he was only king over Yehuda. That was the years of Chevron, but the years of Yerushalayim, he was already king over all of Israel. Vayelech HaMelech v'anashav Yerushalayim, the king and his men went to Yerushalayim. And here the Mepharshim say, anashav, his men are now all of Israel. It's no longer just the small group that are around him. All of Israel are anashav. They came to Yerushalayim el ha-Yevusi yoshev ha-aretz, to the Yevusi who live in the land. Vayomer le-David lemar, and it had been said to David saying, lo tavo heina, you shall not come here, ki im hesircha ha-ivrim v'ha-pischim lemar, lo yavo David heina. It had been said to David that you shall not come here unless you remove ha-ivrim, the blind, ba-pischim, and the lame. So saying, David shall not come here. All right. I think time has come. We have to start talking. What's going on here? We will, of course, for the end, we'll get to the ivrim and the pischim, the blind and the lame. What is happening here, of course, is at the very heart or the root of a controversy that is on the world agenda today. David HaMelech is going to conquer Yerushalayim and he is going to establish his kingdom in Yerushalayim. And from whom does he conquer Yerushalayim? He conquers Yerushalayim from the Yevusi. The Yevusi were Yoshev Yerushalayim, and that had already been mentioned earlier in Sefer Shoftim. The Yevusi lived in Yerushalayim. Of course, one of the great lies of our time, there are already Arab writings in which they say that they are the descendants of the Yevusi. You understand? You understand? The Palestinian Arabs that are most probably more than 30 years in existence, because there never was a Palestinian people. There was really never any such thing as a Palestinian people. The name of Eretz Yisrael, Palestine, was given by the Romans. And the reason why the Romans did it is because they were also in the business, like everybody else was, they were in the business of rewriting history. So the best way, how do you rewrite history? The first thing you have to do is erase, right? First you erase. They called Yerushalayim, they gave Yerushalayim a different name, Ela Kapitolina. And for that matter, what they really did during the entire Roman period, the capital of Eretz Yisrael was... Where was the capital of Eretz Yisrael? Caesarea. With a golf course, with all the good zachen, they knew where to make a capital. The point is, we will have to talk a bit of history, but first we're going to have to talk about the psukim over here, which are extremely important. The Jewish claim to Yerushalayim begins in this chapter. David conquers the city and he establishes the city as his capital. The fact is, as we say, even when the Romans were here, it was not Yerushalayim that was the capital. The capital was Caesarea. After the Muslim conquest of Eretz Yisrael in the 7th century, whether it was Saladin's Omar, the capital was never Yerushalayim. The capital was Ramla. Ramla was their capital. The only ones who established their capital here were the Jews under David in this chapter, the Crusaders for a period of Be'erach, approximately 87 years after the conquest by Richard the Lionhearted and others. It was for 87 years the capital of a Christian Eretz Yisrael, but otherwise it was never anybody's capital. During all of the last 1500 years or so that Yerushalayim it was under either Turkish or other rule, it was nothing more than a backwater city. When the real capital was Ankara, under Turkish Empire. When it was under Syrian Empire, it was Damascus and other places. When it was under Egypt, it was Cairo. That was the capital. When the British held it, it was not the capital of anybody. The capital was London. This was nothing more than
some kind of a colonial backwater town, nothing more than that. The fact is that during its history, Yerushalayim was ruled by 15 different empires whose capital city was elsewhere. The only ones who established it as a capital city were the Jews. And here it happens in this sefer, in this parasha. And what's important is the following. A number of things. Let's go back to first pasuk. I think the first pasuk is extremely important. Vayavo kol shifte Yisrael el David Chevrona. I think maybe we can even ask the question, why is it that the tribes of Israel, why do the tribes of Israel, shouldn't the elders of Israel come first? What really is taking place over here is the following. We have to deal with a much larger question. One of the larger questions we're going to deal with. Question number one that we have to deal with is, why does the name Yerushalayim not appear once in all of Torah? Yerushalayim does not appear once. It appears in some way when Avraham Avinu comes back from his struggle with the four kings. So it says, Umalki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, came out toward Avraham. And the Targum Onkelos says over there, Umalki Tzedek Malka de Yerushalem, the king of Yerushalem. That's the only reference. We will see that there is another little bit of a reference to Yerushalayim, and that's going to be, of course, when Avraham Avinu brings Yitzchak to Har HaMoriah on the Akedah. It says, "Vayikra Shem Amakom Ahu." Avraham can't call the name of that place Hashem Yireh. God's divine presence should be seen here in this place, which ultimately became part of the name Yerushalayim, but we'll talk about that in a little while. Otherwise, Yerushalayim in Sefer Devarim is referred to at least 20 times, but the way in which it's referred to is Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shemo Sham, the place that God is going to choose to cause His name to dwell. Question is, why isn't the name of the city mentioned clearly and openly? And the fact is that certainly Gedola Yisrael were very much aware of the name of the place. It was a secret, but then not completely a secret. The Rambam says the following: HaMizbeach, the altar, Mekomo Mechuvan Biyoter, the place of the Mizbeach on Har HaBayit, that place is very carefully noted. We know precisely where it is. You're never permitted to change the place of the Mizbeach. Shenema, because it says, this is Ze Mizbeach La'ola Yisrael, this is the Mizbeach for an all of Yisrael. B'makom HaMizbeach, the place of the Mizbeach, Nekat Shom Yitzchak, that's where Yitzchak was brought as an Akedah. Shenema, as it says, Lech L'cho El Eretz HaMoriah, God tells him, go to Eretz HaMoriah. And it says that Shlomo began to build the house of God on Har HaMoriah. Asher nir'eh leDavid Aviyu, where God appeared to his father David. Asher hechin b'makom David begoran Arnon haYevusi. That place, that Temple Mount, belonged to somebody who in Sefer Divrei Yayamim is referred to as Arnon the Yevusi. In the end of Sefer Shmuel, he is referred to as Aravno haYevusi. And David HaMelech buys the Har HaBayit from Aravna HaYevusi. The Rambam goes on to say that there is a Masorah, we have a tradition, that the place where David and Shlomo built the Mizbeach in the silo of Aravna, that's the place where Avram built the Mizbeach and brought Yitzchak as an Akedah. And that's the place where Noah built a Mizbeach, an altar, when he came out of the Teva. And that was the place where Cain and Hevel brought their sacrifices. And that's where Adam HaRishon himself also brought sacrifices. Kishen Nivra, when he was created, Umisham Nivra, and from there he was created. The earth from which man was made came from the Har HaBayit. The Aru Chachamim said, Adam Mimetom Kaparaton Nivra, man was created from the place from which his forgiveness comes, the Makam HaMizbeach, which is the source of forgiveness, the Klal Yisrael. Which means, therefore, yes, I'm quoting from the Rambam. The Rambam, Hilchot Bet HaBechira, the laws of the Bet HaMikdash. And it's the very Perek Bet, second chapter, Halachas Aleph Bet. So that means there were those who certainly knew where the Har HaBayit is, and they knew about Yerushalayim. Yet Yerushalayim is pointedly not mentioned by name in Torah. I mean, how many times does the Torah have to continue saying, when you will come to the place that God will choose? The Rambam in the Mora HaNevuchim says the following. He asks this question, why is Yerushalayim not mentioned by name? He gives three reasons. We're going to add two other reasons to what the Rambam says. Rambam says that it's not mentioned because the Rabbeinu Shlom did not want that the enemy should know that this is where we plan on building our capital. Because would the enemy know that we want to build our capital there, they would put up a fight to the death. They would fight for it the way you fight for a capital. And therefore more Jewish lives would be lost. So the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's a secret. Secret. And fascinatingly enough, it was one of the rare times in Jewish history that there were no leaks. The second pshat that Rambam says is that if they would have known that this is going to be the capital city that David HaMelech is going to wage war for in this perek, would they have known it? And they would see that they are incapable of defending the capital, they would have adopted a scorched earth policy and destroyed the city totally. Oru, oru, ad hayisod ba. They would have destroyed the city utterly. The third pshat that the Rambam says is the reason why Yerushalayim is not mentioned by name in Torah so that there should not be a struggle amongst the tribes. Who is going to have Yerushalayim in their portion? And therefore, what is fascinating is the very first time in Torah, in Parashat Re'eh, where the Torah talks about the place, when you will come to the place that God will choose, so the first time, your sacrifices, says at the beginning of Parashat Re'eh, ki in the only place where you can bring your sacrifices, el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem elokeichem, to the place that God will choose, mikol shivteichem, from amongst all of your tribes, lasumet shmosham, that his name should be there, l'shichno tirishu, where he dwells, we should come and seek him, uvat hasham, and come there. So the very first time that it's mentioned, it says, the place that God will choose from amongst all of your tribes, which obviously the Rambam brings as proof that one of the reasons why the name of Yerushalayim is not mentioned so that there should not be a struggle between the tribes, who will have Yerushalayim in his portion. I believe that's precisely what the first pasuk in this parak is saying. The first step that has to be taken before David HaMelech can begin the campaign against Yerushalayim is that he has to have all of the Shvatim together with him. What were they waiting for? It's 250, 300 years since they had come in the days of Yahushua. What were they waiting for all of those years? Why didn't somebody conquer Yerushalayim and build a Beit HaMikdash? There's a mitzvah in the Torah to build a Beit HaMikdash. They're waiting with the fulfillment of this great mitzvah some 300 years already. Because what was necessary was that there should be a union of Kol Shivteichem, all of the tribes. At the moment when all of the tribes are united and there are no longer serious tribal divisions, only at that moment can the choice be made. And that's precisely the stage that is being set in this passage by Avo. Kol Shiftei Yisrael El David. All the tribes of Israel come to David. The moment that's done, David can now begin the campaign for Yerushalayim. Because what has been fulfilled is Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem Mikol Shifteichem. All of the tribes are together. Now he can begin the process of the conquest of Yerushalayim. I believe there are another two reasons why the name is not mentioned. There are two other places in Torah where a name is not mentioned. One is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram, Lech Lecha, me'artzecho u'mimoladetcho u'mibeit avicho el ha'oretz asher ar'eko, to the land that I will show you. Does he tell him which land? Why doesn't he tell him which land? There's another place. The first lech lecha, God doesn't tell him where to go. And the last lech lecha, the second lech lecha is, kachma, take your one and only son Yitzchak and bring him to the place that I will show you. To the place that I will show him, bring him there as an ola. These two places, God does not mention the name. Rashi says, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell him the name by Lech Lecha, the first Lech Lecha, why doesn't he tell him the name? Kidei Lechavavo Be'enov, in order to make it more beloved. In other words, the anticipation of when will I know, when will I find out? There is a rising anticipation, and it may very well have been necessary for Klal Yisrael Pashut to have gone through a long period of time until they felt the need for a capital city, and then finally the relation tells them. I'm sure that Jews most probably were praying already. They didn't say Vili Yerushalayim Ircha, but what they said, Hamakom Ashiyivcha, the place, we're waiting for Ben Shimon.
It would be fine to...
If Abraham had enough,
because
if
you
don't
know
where
you're going, you
get
followed blindly. You need a lot of
enough. That's also true. I'll tell you, even if he would have told him the name of the place, it still takes a lot of faith to pick yourself up from where you are and go to. I mean, it was still some kind of hashlug in a place. I mean, what was it? The seat of civilization was where Abraham was coming from. He was going off to the hinterlands. There is something else that is important by the Rebbeinu not telling us the place, not telling Avram that he's going to Eretz Canaan, not telling Avram that he's going to Haram Aviyah, not telling Klal Yisrael that they're on the way to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is the place. When do we find out the place? We find out about Eretz Yisrael only after Avram gets there. We find out about Haram Aviyah only after Avram and Yitzchak get there. We find out about Yerushalayim only after David conquers it. In order to establish an extremely important principle, and I think this principle was in a different connection once enunciated by Rav Soloveitchik. Sanctity in this world, Kedusha, is the act of man, not an act of God. We are the ones who make something holy. A man says that I'm going to bring this animal as a sacrifice, that makes it holy. Kedusha, in its real sense, sanctity is something that is created by men, not created by God. There may be a Ritzon Hashem, a will of God. Example. Classic example. There are two mountains that tower majestically over all of Jewish history. Har HaMoriah and Har Sinai. Does Har Sinai have any meaning for us? Even in that ill-fated peace with Egypt, there wasn't a single group that demonstrated for Har Sinai. We don't even know where it is. We're not even certain where it is. I'll tell you even more. We don't even care where it is. Yamit? Yes. Har Sinai, no one. What about Har HaMoriah? Do you think there are stronger and greater feelings for Har HaMoriah? Of course. Har HaMoriah, yes. But wait a minute. Har Sinai is the place where God Himself descended upon the mountain, the most glorious day in all of world history. An entire world shook. There was thunder and there was lightning and there was the sound of the shofar. And God Himself descends from the heavens upon Mount Sinai, and He speaks to the Jewish people. For that matter, He speaks to a whole world. Yet Har Sinai means nothing to us. Why doesn't Har Sinai mean anything to us? Because sanctity in this world is not established by the Rabbeinu Shlomo. It is the task of man to give Kedusha. Therefore, what does the Torah say by Har Sinai? As long as the divine presence is on the mountain, nobody is permitted to go to the mountain. What happens when the divine presence rises? Then Gam Hatzon v'Habokor Yiru El Mul HaHorahu, the sheep and the cattle can continue to graze by the mountain. As long as the Rebbeinu's presence is there, okay? So the Rebbeinu's presence is there. But when it rises and it lifts, there goes the sanctity. But Har HaMoriah, where Avraham Avinu was ready to sacrifice his son Yitzchak, it is the act of Avraham and Yitzchak that gives that place sanctity. Eretz Yisrael truly becomes holy. It's the chosen land. On some level, there is a sanctity that it has from the moment of creation, but its real active sanctity comes when Avraham enters into the land and he goes along the length and breadth of the land. Haramadiyah becomes holy when Yitzchak is brought as an Akedah. What the Torah therefore is telling us is, if the name would have been mentioned in advance in Torah, we could have made the mistake of thinking that the sanctity of Yerushalayim is something that has been mandated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He makes sanctity. No. Do you know when it's going to become holy? In this parak. When David HaMelech is going to conquer it, that's when Yerushalayim is going to become holy. Holiness for all time is established by the act of man, not by the act of God. God's holiness is in heaven. We are the instruments of Kedusha in this world. So that therefore the name of Yerushalayim is not mentioned. Not mentioned clearly as the capital city until this chapter. Because it's now that David HaMelech is going to conquer it. So therefore I believe it's the words in the chapter and the order of the chapter are very careful, very careful. This corresponds to the very first time in Torah when that illusory relationship with Yerushalayim is mentioned and never by name. The place that's going to be chosen in Kol Shiftechem. Once all of the Shvatim rally around David and the tribes become one united unit, from that moment on and further, the choice can be made. And who is the choice going to be made by? It's going to be made by David HaMelech. The name Yerushalayim has a great deal of significance. I think we talked about this 2 years ago. Does anybody know where the name comes from? Anyone know where the name comes from? All right. Good, I'm happy you don't know, so I can tell you something. The famous Medrash. Obviously it wasn't the famous Medrash here, but it's going to be a famous Medrash from now on. The Medrash says the following, that Avraham called the name of the place Yid-Eh. That's what he said at the Akedah, Yid-Eh. It was Malki Tzedek, who is Shem ben Noach. Shem, the son of Noach, he's the one who gave the place the name Shalem, Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem. Says the Medrash that the Rebbein Shalom has a dilemma. Im ani korei osa, if I'm going to call the name of this city Yid-Eh, as Avraham called it, Shem, Odom Tzadik Mitra'en, Shem, who is a righteous person, is going to be upset. The Im ani korei osa, and if I call the name of the city, which one did I say first? Shalem. If I call it Shalem, then Avraham is Adam Tzadik, he will be Mitraim. If I call the name of the place Shalem as Malki Tzedek did, then Avraham, who is a righteous person, is going to be upset. Lefichach, therefore, Ani Korei Otar, I therefore call the name of the city Yerushalayim. Now watch, a number of things are there. But that means the underlying significance of the Medrash is this is the one city in the world that is given its name by the Rebbein Shem. No other. The only city that gets its name from the Rebbein Shem. There's something else that's very fascinating. This is discussed by a Tosis in the Sechta Tainus. Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh 655 times. I think I got the number straight. By the way, and I think this is extremely important, Yerushalayim never appears once in the Koran. But 656 times in Tanakh. Of all of those times, it is written without a second yud all the time except five times. Yerushalayim, take a look in your Navi, I don't know how your Navi, how they printed it over here. How do they print it? Without the second yud, it's printed. It's written Yerusha. Yerusha, Lam. Without the yud between the lamed and the mem. Without the yud between the lamed and the mem. Tosis asks, why is there no Yud in Yerushalayim? Why is there no Yud between the Lamed and the Mem? So Tosis answers, because Shem, what did Shem call the city? Sha-Lem. Shin, Lamed, Mem. So that's the way it's written. That means, it seems Tosis is saying, is that God didn't want to tamper with the name the way it was given by Malki Tzedek. He called it Shalem. So Shin, Lamed, Mem. The problem, of course, is that God does tamper a little bit with the name given to it by Avram. Avram calls it Yir'eh, and the Yir'eh becomes Yeru. So first of all, maybe because with a guy, you don't start out with Shem. Avram, the Rabbi Shem already will get make a deal with Avram. You know? But the Yerushalmi, one of the Mepharshim on the Yerushalmi says, what's the difference between Yir'eh and Yeru? The Aleph and the Hay of Yir'eh, which equals 6, is turned into the Vav of Yeru. But there are another two problems that we have to deal with the name of Yerushalayim. Problem number one is, why is the name that Avram gave it, why is that first? Who gave the name first to the city? Melchizedek is Melech Shalem in Parashat Lech Lecha, and Avram comes to the Akkad and calls it Yir'eh in Parashat Vayera. Why? The truth is that we could have gotten used to it over the years to call it Shalom Yeru. Could have been Shalom Yeru. You can get used to anything. But now there's reason why. There is reason why. I believe the reason why is, and this is always the great complaint that I have to Malki Tzedek. My complaint to Malki Tzedek is, who is Malki Tzedek? Malki Tzedek is Melech. Melech what? King of Shalem, right? Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. What has been going on in Parashat Lech Lecha? What's been going on for 26 years? There's a world war of 4 kings against 5 kings. Who are all these 9 kings that are fighting with one another? They are all the children of Malki Tzedek, Shem ben Noach. What does he do during all of these years? He most probably talks peace, he prays for peace, but he does absolutely nothing about it. In one great night, Avraham Avinu goes out and he destroys the aggressors and he brings peace to the world. Sometimes peace is brought to the world by one crushing blow. But what Avraham therefore is saying is, peace will real peace will only come in. This has nothing. I said this long before the peace process. That has nothing. This is not politics. It's a stir. The peace will come only when Hashem Yir'eh, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be seen in Yerushalayim. You cannot talk about peace separate and distinct from the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring peace. It is Malki Tzedek who thinks that if he's going to talk peace, that he's going to... You know, that's not enough. Yir'eh, when Hashem Yir'eh, when God will see fit that his divine presence should be seen and feared from that mountain, then there's going to be Shalem in the world. So therefore, yes, the Rebbe says, I'm sorry, Shem. It's true that you gave the name Shalem to the city before Avraham gave the name Yir'eh. But you should know that the Yir'eh is the necessary introduction to Shalem. The process is going to be Yir'eh, and then Shalem. But there's another problem with the name Yerushalayim. We read it one way, and we write it another way. We read it Yerushalayim, but how do we write it? Yerushalem. We don't put the Yud in. There is no Yud there. And we said that Tosis tells us, why is there no Yud there? Because Malki Tzedek called it Shalem, but he didn't call it Shalayim. So why do we call it Yerushalayim? Why shouldn't the city be at Yerushalayim as it is in the Aramaic or as it is in English? Jerusalem. It's not Jerusalayim. It's Jerusalem. What does an ayim ending in Hebrew always denote? Plural. Yad, Yadayim, Ayin, Einayim. I don't have to go any further. You know, Raglayim, a lot of things. Machaneh Machanayim. And in this week's Sefer, Vayikra Shem HaMakom Ahu Machanayim, he saw two camps of angels. The Yerushalayim always represents Ayim ending always means a duality. Two, not one. Which is extremely significant when we're talking about Yerushalayim, because there is a great deal of duality in Yerushalayim. And I don't at all mean, I'm going to explain what I mean. Not that it's two cities. There are those who want to turn it precisely into that. Incidentally, we're going to see in this perek that when David comes to Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is a divided city. Save that for a moment. We'll show it to you in Tanakh. It's a divided city that he unites. But wait, let's not jump ahead. First of all, Yerushalayim, the first duality, what do you know about Yerushalayim that's two? The name is made up of two names, Yireh and Shalem. Chazal tell us there's Yerushalayim Shel Mata, and there is Yerushalayim Shel Mala. There is a Yerushalayim up there that is Mechuvan, that is directly above the Yerushalayim Shel Mata. In Tanakh, Yerushalayim also has two meanings. It means the city proper. It also is another name for the whole country. For example, when you say that Washington announced, what does that mean, Washington announced? What does that mean? I don't know, there were some words that came out of the Washington. Washington is a name that represents a city called Washington, and it represents a whole country. It represents a government. It represents a people. The great eternal struggle that the Gemara talks about between Yerushalayim and the Caesarea, Yerushalayim. That was last week's Sedra, when Rivka is told that there are two nations in your womb, Ushnelu Umimi Me'ayich Yiporedu, Ula'om Mil'om Ye'ematz, and each nation is going to struggle with the other. I believe Rashi brings over there that there will be the struggle between Caesarea, which represents the Christian world, and Yerushalayim. And when one rises, the other falls. And when one falls, the other rises. So we've said Yerushalayim, therefore, is the name of a particular geographic location, and it also represents Eretz Yisrael as a whole. Yerushalayim in Tanakh, we will also find, is that there was inner Yerushalayim and there was greater Yerushalayim from a geographic point of view. Now, the geographic Yerushalayim represented a much larger area. It most probably included Har Nof and Ramot, maybe Pisgat Ze'ev, I don't know, Male Adumim. And then there was the inner core city, which was Yerushalayim. And in Tanakh, the words are used, the names are used interchangeably. It means, of course, in truth, that Yerushalayim has significance not only for Klal Yisrael, but it has significance indeed for the whole world. Va'olu Moshiim b'har Tzion lishvot et harei Sav, ki mi Tzion teitzei Torah u'devar Hashem mi Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is going to be the famous nevuah of Yeshayahu. V'noharu elov kol hagoyim, all of the nations of the world are going to flow toward Yerushalayim. And they're going to say, L'chu v'na'ala, let us all go al har beit Hashem, etc. Yerushalayim is going to be the source of inspiration for a whole world. The Gilui Shchina, the divine presence is going to be revealed in Yerushalayim to a whole world. So it is true that the city has significance indeed for a whole world. I mean, they're not crazy when they all have their sights set on Yerushalayim. And in a way that they've never had it, the only what makes the present struggle of Yerushalayim more bitter than any other previous struggle is that the ones who indeed hold it are ready to relinquish it. That never happened in all of Jewish history. That never happened. Not only never happened in all of Jewish history, it didn't happen in history altogether. There was never any one of the 87 conquerors. Yerushalayim, I think, was conquered 87 times. And if I'm wrong, it's most probably because it's more than 87. The city changed hands that many times. But nobody who held it ever willingly relinquished it to anybody else. Except now. Jews are ready to relinquish parts of Yerushalayim. The reason why, let's go back to the reason why the name of that given by Abram comes first, in order to demonstrate something else. Yes, the city has meaning and significance for a whole world, but that meaning and significance is only going to come through Abraham and the children of Abraham and the divine presence that's going to rest here because of the children of Abraham through the Yireh of Yerushalayim. It will be Yerushalayim for a whole world. There's a beautiful Evan Ezra, and I once added something to this Evan Ezra, and that's why it has it's a good Evan Ezra altogether. He's talking really about the whole idea of something that we come across all the time. There is Kri and Ktiv. We have different words in Tanakh that are written one way and read another way, read one way, written another way. So he says the following. If you're going to ask, this is the Ibn Ezra, says, if you're going to ask, how can we read a letter that's not written? Yesh lahoshiv. So he says, the answer is, why do we call Yerushalayim Yerushalayim? There's no Yud in Yerushalayim. Shelo timtso zos hamilo b'yud rak chomesh. You're not going to find the name Yerushalayim with a Yud except five times. The other 652 times or 51 times, it's without a Yud. Ubabur hachidik, because of the fact that there's a chidik that's written between the lamed and the mem, we call it with a yud. So he says, how is the on what basis do we do this? Because kach kibalnu me'avotenu, this is what we have received as a mesorah. This is the mesorah from our fathers. Says the Ibn Ezra, we would never have known this from logic. The only way in which we know, and for 3,000 years we've known in Tanakh precisely where to write the five places that you write it with a yud and where you don't write it with a yud. He says all of this, the idea first of all that Yerushalayim is not written with a yud, and precisely where it is and where it isn't, all of this is the result of a very exacting and precise tradition from generation to generation that hasn't changed. So what he's really saying is the way Yerushalayim is written is proof that the Mesorah, the way the Tanakh has been transmitted to us, has been transmitted so faithfully from generation to generation, you can bet your life on a Tanakh. You can know that this is the Dvar Hashem. It has come down so carefully transmitted. So I said, once on this Evan Ezra, I said, do you know what the Evan Ezra is saying? Ki mitzion teitzei Torah. Udvar Hashem, the fact that Torah is Dvar Hashem, you know where you learn it from? From the name Yerushalayim. The name Yerushalayim bears eternal proof that the Mesorah, the tradition of Tanakh, was so carefully guarded and so precisely transmitted from generation to generation. Kimi Tzion takes in Torah, Udvar Hashem, Yerushalayim. All right. We're not finished yet with Yerushalayim. We've just begun to talk about Yerushalayim. So here what happens is that David HaMelech, he is anointed Tzim Britten Mo. Right? He's Tzim Eishen Mo, Tzim Seiten Mo, and Tzim Britten Mo, and that's it. Once, third time, he is Melech. He is Melech over Kol Shifte Yisrael. He has been accepted as king by Kol Ziknei Yisrael. And it's from that moment on and further, immediately, the first step that he takes, is he goes to conquer Yerushalayim. He's been 7 years in Hebron, now he goes to Yerushalayim. It's obvious that all of this flows from the first pasuk, the moment it says that Kol Shiftei Yisrael have joined David. We're talking about a united people, and from a united people are now the ones who can establish Yerushalayim as the capital. So let's take a look at this difficult pasuk and see how many pshatim we're going to be able to come up with
I'm going to take you on a journey through the Mefarshim. Vayelech HaMelech, Pasuk 6, that's the Pasuk. Vayelech HaMelech V'Anoshav Yerushalayim, the king and his men went to Yerushalayim, El HaYevusi Yoshev Haaretz, to the Yevusi who lived in the land. Vayom LeDavid Leimrein, it was said to David, so saying, you cannot come into this city unless you remove the Ivrim, the blind, and the lame. So first of all, from what we know in Tanakh, and by the way, I should have mentioned this, but you know, everything is going to come out. Yerushalayim is a divided city. Yerushalayim is a divided city because Yerushalayim, part of Yerushalayim, is in from the tribe of Yehuda, goes to Yehuda, and part of Yerushalayim is Binyamin. The Pasuk in Zos HaBracha, Binyamin, what's the bracha of Binyamin? Ule Binyamin Amar, the beloved one of Hashem, Yishkon Lavetach, Chofef Olav Kol Hayom, Binyamin hovers over him all day, says Rashi. Rashi brings the Gemara that says that Binyamin hovers over Yerushalayim and wants to swallow up Yerushalayim, wants that Yerushalayim should be in his portion. But what the end was, that the Gemara says, where is Eretz Binyamin? Where is Eretz Binyamin? Today. I mean, the Eretz Binyamin of all time. You don't have to go as far as Ramallah.
French Hill.
French Hill is already Eretz Binyamin. In other words, the moment you move a drop east of Yerushalayim, east and north, that's Eretz Binyamin, Matei Binyamin, even today. Because that was all part of the Nachal, of the inheritance that was given to Binyamin. According to the Gemara says, Ritzua Yotzeit mi Binyamin, there was a strip, the Binyamin strip, which was, there was, from the land of Binyamin, there was a little piece that came onto Har Abayit, and the Makom of Kodesh Kedoshim, the Holy of Holies, was part of that strip that was in the land of Binyamin. Which means, therefore, that Yerushalayim is partially Binyamin and partially Yehuda. So it is a duality, the double Yerushalayim. What had happened up until now? What happened up until now is in Shoftim there was a battle for Yerushalayim. And they captured Yerushalayim, but they were unable to remove the Yevusi who lived in Yerushalayim. Unable to remove the Yevusi. Which means the following. That while Yerushalayim for 250 to 300 years had part of the city had been held by Yehuda and part of the city had been held by the Yevusi for the whole period of the Shoftim. If you will recall at the end of Sefer Shoftim, there is the story of Pelegesh Begiva. In the story of Pelegesh Begiva, it says that as the man is going with his wife from Beit Lechem to the land of Binyamin, and it's getting dark, and they pass a place where his nar says, let's go into that place and stay there overnight. So he says, no, I will not go in over there because there the Yevus are living there. They had passed Yerushalayim. When you go to Beit Lechem, up to Giv'ah or Ramah Pelegesh B'Giv'ah. Giv'ah is someplace around Shu'afat. You pass Yerushalayim. They wouldn't go into Yerushalayim because that part of Yerushalayim, certainly the Har HaBayit, Yerushalayim is a number of mountains. I mean, the place where you can feel it most or best is as you come to the Kotel, right? You come down the steps, right? The Rova is on a mountain. There is a valley in between, and then you have Har HaBayit. Yes.
When I took a tunnel tour under the hotel, they show you the slide of the topography of the mountains and the valleys that makes the letter Shin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At that point where the
mountains make a Shin.
The Shin.
Yerushalayim, Harim, Savivla. So what really happened over here was, Yehuda had already in Shoftim at the beginning, it says that they captured Yerushalayim. You'll remember that they waged war with a king called Adoni Bezek, who was king of Yerushalayim, and they cut off, it says over there that they cut off his thumbs and his fingers because he had the thumbs and fingers of 70 kings under his table. Now they do it today in Saudi Arabia, and they did it in those days too. You chop off the fingers and thumbs.
So they had captured Yerushalayim, but they didn't capture the whole city of Yerushalayim. They captured one of the mountains. They did not capture, when you go out of Shar HaAshba to the strait, is that's Ir David, right? Silwan, Ir David, that's going to be captured now by David, and his main thrust is going to be to capture the Har HaBayit. And over there, it says, as he comes there, so they said, no, you cannot come here. Just take a look in Pasuk 7. Vayilko David captured at Mitzudat Zion, he ir David. And then Pasuk Hey, he says, in other words, even after he's captured ir David, which is outside of Shar HaAshba, he still doesn't have Arabayit. And David said on that day, Kol Maki Yevusi, whoever can smite the Yevusi, because they're still there. The Yevusi are still there, and they're the ones who tell David, you cannot come here until you remove the blind and the lame. Vayomer David, Pasuk 8, Vayomer David, Vayomer Ahu, Kol Maki Yevusi, whoever smites the Yevusi, V'yigar Bat Sinor, and will be able to... Yigam Bat Sinor, its literal meaning is, it seems there was a water aqueduct that was,
a gutter,
something that brings water. But for us, we were raised in America, a gutter was something, you know, the street, you know, maybe it could have been water that was running off. Yigam Bat Sinor, Be'etak Pischim Beto Evrim, and the one who will remove the blind and the lame, snui nefesh David, the ones that are hated, the David's soul hates. Doesn't say very often by David that he hates, but this he hates. Al ken yomru, and therefore they say, iver upiseya lo yavo al abayit, an iver, a blind and a lame shall not come into the house. Alright, let's read another part. Vayeshev David b'mitzudat, David settled in the Mitzudah. Part of Yerushalayim was the fortress. By Yikrolon, he called it Ir David. By even David Saviv, Min Hamilo Vabaita. He built around it. What are the Ivrim and Pisim? I've made a list of how many Pshatim. I think I have 6 or 7 Pshatim in the Ivrim or the Pisim, which obviously, of course, means that we're not going to get through all of them today. But let's. Let me see who we will we'll begin with. Let's take the simple pshatim. The Ebenezer says the message that was sent to David is that this part of Yerushalayim is so fortified, even the blind and the lame will be able to defend this city. David, you will never conquer Yerushalayim. This is Festung Yevusi. Ivrim and Pischim are the ones that can defend this city. There is another pshat that says, we're all going to fight for this city to the last man. Even our blind and our lame are going to fight to the last breath for this city. Does that not recall what I told you at the beginning of the shiur from the Rambam? That if the enemy will know that this is going to be the capital city, they're going to fight a battle to the death. They must sense something. If this is the first place that David comes to after he has been anointed by all of Israel, there's something very special. We're going to fight to the last lame and blind person. There's a third shot that says that on the walls surrounding that part of Yerushalayim, they put lame and blind people up there to tell David that if you have the chutzpah, if you have the cruelty, you know, it's like putting women and children up in the front lines, putting to get to us, you're going to have to cut down the blind and the lame. Let's see, David, if you're able to do it. Another pshat that says that they made fun of the forces of David and they referred to David's men, you're a bunch of blind and lame soldiers. You'll never, ever be able to conquer this city. Chazal say? Boy, we may even get through all of the shopping before our time is up. Chazal saying, this is brought by all of Mepharshim, and we're going to read it more carefully. They put up idols that were blind and lame, you know, hear no evil, see no evil. They put idols, a blind idol and a lame idol. And of course, why are idols, why do we call idols, we call them Pischim and Ivrim, because Einayim Lohem Velo Yiru Raglehem Velo Yahalechem, they have eyes and they can't see. But they were sending a completely different message. The message that those who held Yerushalayim were sending is the Ivrim represent who of the others? Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one who becomes blind or his vision is dimmed toward the end of his life. Which one of the others is a lame one? Yaakov, next week, Sedra, he's going to be hit by the Malach and he's going to begin to limp. So what they're telling him is the following. And this we're going to have to read in the... I'll begin to read it in Rashi. Rashi says it most simply. Rashi says that as they came to the Yavusi, Mitzudat Tzion, the fortress of Tzion is called Yavus. And do you know who the Yavusim were? We know who the Yavusim were. They were not the descendants of the Palestinian Arabs. They weren't Arafat's Zaydis. The Yavus were from the children of Abimelech. V'hoyulahem shnei tzlamim, they put two idols up there. One was an Iver and one was a Kiseach. And they were made to represent Yitzchak and Yaakov. U'befiyem, and you know what was written inside them? They had a cloth in which was written the shvur shenishba Avram la'Avimelech, the oath that Avram swore to Avimelech. Avram and Avimelech had entered into a peace treaty. There was a chose that we are not going to wage war with you, your children, or your grandchildren. And therefore they're saying you have no right to come here, because if you come to this city, this is going to be a hafara, how do you say that in English? A breach of the declaration of principles that was made between Avram and Avimelech. Yes. And of all the strange things, sometimes Rishoyim have length of days. There was still a great grandson of Abimelech alive, as he was most probably Azoke Muflug, but there was still a great grandson. So he says, therefore, back in Sefer Shoftim, when Yehuda conquered Yerushalayim, so they conquered all of the city except the part that belonged to the Yavusi, where the Yavusi were living. Why? Because they were not permitted to do it by virtue of the covenant that had been entered into with Avram. And that's why it says at the beginning of Shoftim, over there the pasuk says, "Va'et ha'yevusi yoshev Yerushalayim lo yachlu lahodesh," the Yevusi who lives in Yerushalayim, they were not able to destroy. They had conquered everything else, and they couldn't. Do the Yevusi couldn't doesn't mean they physically couldn't. It meant that ethically and morally they couldn't, because they were bound by the covenant that had been entered into between Avram and Avimelech. And the Gemara brings this. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yecholin hayu, they were able. Ela shelo hayu rishoyim, they weren't permitted. And Avram, David now, of course, why is David going to do it now? There are reasons why David has a right to do it now. Because they've already broken the covenant 1,000 times over. Doesn't it always happen like that? The other side, we're the good guys. We're going to keep our part of the bargain. Unfortunately, even if it kills us, we will keep our part of the bargain. But they had already broken the bargain long, long before. Avimelech was Melech Plishtim. How many wars have been going on with the Plishtim now since the time of Shimshon? There's been struggle with the Plishtim. They had broken the covenant and the treaty time and time again. So what they've set up over the walls of their part of Yerushalayim, which has been, as I say, a divided city now since the beginning of the times of from the times of Yeshua, or from right after Yeshua until now, it's been a divided city, is their claim to the city that you don't have a right to come in here because of the treaty that was entered into between Avram and Avimelech. Therefore, this is Snuei the Ivrim and the Pischim, the blind and the lame, that are there on the fortress, which represent the covenant, and therefore you don't have a right to come here. Snuei Nefesh David. How he's going to conquer it and what's going to happen. We have to leave something for next week too. I'll tell you, a little bit I've used you people. I have to speak. If things worked out that way, that we're learning chapter 5 over here. Chapter 5, Mamish, is the soul of our claim to Yerushalayim as our capital city. I also have to speak in City Hall tomorrow afternoon on our claim to Yerushalayim. So, you know, it just works out well. I'm on a program with the Hebrew University students from Kutzlaritz with Ehud Olmert. So we'll have something to say about Yerushalayim. Okay.